From the creators of the hit kids podcast, Who Smarted, and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as math. Every episode follows Max and Molly, who have just been recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time, packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs, making learning cool. The series explores themes like the stories behind math, critical thinking, code breaking, pattern solving, and more. The shows are perfect for ages 6 and up. We recently returned from a trip where we saw a live pirate show, so our 7-year-old daughter loved the episode about the pirate queen. New episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, perfect for car rides, break times, and bedtimes. Each episode is stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Jeannie Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside. And I have a special guest today, actually, that I've known him for quite a long time. I've had her books for quite a long time. Kate Krakow, welcome.
Hi, Jeannie. Thanks so much for having me.
This is really exciting. You have a new podcast that you just launched. Is it fairly recently, called The Accidental Homeschool Mama?
Yes, just a couple weeks ago.
Wow. And we're swapping episodes here. Ours are going to come out probably similar time, but I came on there. Tell us just a little bit about that podcast and how you landed in that spot.
Yeah. So, you know, I was an entrepreneur. I still am an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years now. I wrote books on entrepreneurship. I did business coaching with female business owners. We did mindset coaching for a while. And I'm a trained psychotherapist. And we had a period about 2 years ago where my daughter had this sort of health catastrophe. We couldn't figure it out. We didn't know what was wrong. And I really had to put my business on hold. And that was when we began to homeschool. It wasn't something that was in our plans. And that's why I like to call myself the accidental homeschool mama, because at that time she was probably around 2.5. She was at daycare. My oldest was at preschool and daycare, and it was never on our radar to homeschool. And because of what she was going through, she had really awful eczema. And it doesn't sound like something that's that debilitating, but it got to the point where she actually couldn't be in a classroom anymore. So like, she couldn't use her hands. She was in sleeves, scratch sleeves all day. So I decided, you know what, let me start researching homeschool and see where this takes us. And it was the biggest blessing in our life. And, you know, I had to put my business on hold for almost 2 years. And that was, we can get into that, because, you know, having a thriving business and teaching about mindset and how you can basically work through anything and get through these hurdles, it was a big struggle for me. I really felt like a fraud for a long time, and it took me a while to get past that. But I realized that it was just part of our story. And especially as being a parent and a working parent, there are seasons where things may have to go on hold and things don't work out as you plan, as we all know. And again, homeschool was the biggest blessing in our lives. It actually, what she went through, I always say it saved our lives, because we were living a very sort of like the American dream, right? The thing that like everyone thinks is the right way to live. You send your kids to daycare, send your kids to school, you work really long hours, you have sitters and nannies, but that wasn't the life that we were supposed to live. And now we have this life that we get to do everything together, and my kids are included in everything, including our business. And that was something I had to really work through as well, too, was believing that you can also have a thriving business and you can have your kids at home. Because I think often, and again, there will be seasons where it's really hard and you can't have both, but it is possible to have both.
Mm-hmm. Now, what an interesting thing. I think if someone were to talk to you right after your book came out versus now, you're in such a different place. And yet, so many of these principles still apply. And the reason I was really interested in it, Kate, and we haven't really talked to anyone about this topic yet, is I was at a homeschool conference just in February, just a few months ago. And it wasn't in my session, but it was in a different session. One of the speakers had asked for moms who were working, whether part-time, full-time, whatever, to raise their hand. And I think a majority of the moms raised their hand. And the speaker said she was very shocked by that. Like, just not in a bad way, but just surprised that there are a lot of moms and dads that are juggling things like homeschool, or they're juggling several jobs at once. And it's interesting because this Kim John Payne, who I love, he wrote the book Simplicity Parenting and a lot of others, but I've talked to him quite a bit. And he said by 2035, 75% of the population would be entrepreneurs. I just thought, oh, there's no way. Or they'd be people that have several different jobs. You know, that's 10 years from now. That's the world our kids are heading into. I'm starting to see it though, Kate, you know, and maybe you are too, where just a lot of families are not able to make it work on one income. So we're in this juggle. And your book about this is called Thinking Like a Boss, Uncover and Overcome the Lies Holding You Back from Success. But success maybe looks different for you now than it did then. Do you think?
Oh, yeah. Back then it was, again, like living, and I don't like to call it a lie, but what society tells you is the American dream, right? It's like the two parents who are working, bringing in an income, the kids are off at school, you're in all the activities. It's just something you do, you know, you're going through the fast through drive through. It was sort of how I was raised too. And it took us to sort of losing everything. Also the pandemic, we had multiple local businesses too. And we lost a couple of businesses after with the after effects of the pandemic, to sort of losing it all, to realizing like that is not the way to live. The way to live is simple and having time with people, having community. And we didn't really have that community either. And that's really what homeschool brought to our family as well.
Wow. We always say it's the best decision we ever made. That's for sure. Don't regret one second of it. For this book, Thinking Like a Boss, Uncover and Overcome the Lies Holding You Back from Success. And I know you and I had these initial talks about talking about the book, and you wrote it when you were in a different space, a different headspace and a different thought. But I just felt that the whole concept of it really still applies. It's very applicable. I'm a homeschool mom and we've got this family business. And so much of it spoke to me in the season that I'm in. So I thought, well, if there's this many parents and this many moms, especially who are in that juggle, I thought this is a really a great thing to read. And it just depends on what success looks like for your family. So Thinking Like a Boss, one of the lies that you talk about is I need to have it all together. And this is quite the lie because none of us, I don't think, have it all together. You say, I felt like no one liked me. I felt like I didn't fit in. For much of my life, I felt less than qualified or competent, more like the hot mess express. Do you think that most people feel that way?
Yes. I think that everyone feels that way. And I think that we're always so concerned with what other people are thinking of us. Are they going to judge us or this or that? But I think we're all so concerned with how we feel other people are perceiving us that we have to keep that in mind. I think that all of us feel like we don't have it together, no matter how successful you are.
Right. Because you've worked with a bunch of women. You were a business coach.
Yes.
So you got this inside scoop as to how other people are actually feeling. When you're a business owner, you just have your own feelings. But if you're talking with women and helping women through different situations, everyone is a big statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at times it was intimidating with, some of the new clients I would work with. I would see an application come through and like maybe the numbers that they were making in their business or where they're at in their business. And what I want to say is no one is excused from feeling that way. Every business owner, no matter how far along you are, if you have a business that makes $20,000 a year or billions of dollars a year, you will always feel like you don't fully have it together. And, you know, I've studied something called dialectical behavior therapy when I was in school to become a therapist. And one of the biggest concepts of it is really this concept of acceptance. When we can accept things in life that, you know, maybe this is how I feel and that's okay, it makes it so much easier.
It's so interesting because I'd never heard of dialectical behavior therapy. And I just talked recently to someone who's totally trained in it. She's got a book called Stress Resets. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Tates. And I'd never heard of it. And then I read it in her book and your book. I was like, oh, this is so interesting. Never even heard of it. DBT. So she talks about it and you talk about it. She has a book about emotional eating that uses some of the therapy ideas. I don't even know if I said that right, but she was saying it's like a more of a curriculum.
Yes. Yes. And actually I wrote, after I wrote the Thinking Like a Boss book, I wrote a workbook. And in the workbook, I dive deeper into each of the DBT concepts.
Oh, that's so interesting. What a great companion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's set up almost like a course so that people can go through it in 12 weeks. What I found was, you know, if you read the book Thinking Like a Boss, I talk in the beginning about this time in my life when I really struggled with an eating disorder when I was a young teenager in college. And I went to school to be a therapist, I think probably feeling this connection to wanting to help people. And there is when I literally fell into this DBT program. It's actually a really funny story. I had applied because I wanted to only work with kids. I said, I will never work with adults. I applied to join this sort of fellowship to do trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy with children. Mm-hmm. And I was so disappointed because they only take like maybe a handful of people. I didn't get it. Several months later, I got an email from a professor saying, Kate, where are you? We're waiting for you in the classroom. Oh. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And she was like, you're in the DBT program. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll take it. Must be just this gift from God that I'm supposed to learn DBT. I never applied to it.
Wow.
Only like 4 or 5 of us that were accepted, which is the craziest thing in the world. But it was just, and I think that's the whole thing with life is like, just taking that next step that, you know, sometimes things don't go as planned.
Right.
For you and what your plans are, but they go the way that they're supposed to go.
Right.
It was the biggest blessing in my life. I had no idea. Like I had heard about DBT, but this wasn't something I chose. It was just something that accidentally happened. And I think that's what can bring so much joy in life is when you can go with those accidental opportunities that come and that are sort of just thrown in your lap.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned DBT.
It's so interesting. Like I said, I never heard of it.
Yeah.
And her story and your story is just like, oh, really successful. And she says, yeah, that's what I use to, you know, help me be successful. And you've got all these strategies that you're using too. So super interesting. And if people are interested to learn more, then they can use that workbook that goes along with Thinking Like a Boss. One of the statements you said was, we are all winging it. I don't think we ever completely have it together. So I would imagine that that statement really applied once you added your kids to the mix.
Oh, yeah. I think what makes it harder in life is when you feel like you want to control, because all of us are control freaks. We all want to control. But when you can learn to just let go, because in the beginning, you know, having kids at home, even during the pandemic, trying to work and watch them at the same time, I had this new lie that's not talked about in the book, but I can't work at home with my kids there with me. And I had to really learn to surrender that. And Ginny, to be honest, it really took me until the summertime to work through that lie. Like just recently, my mom suddenly passed away in July. And right before she passed away, she said, because I was sort of in this rut where I kept saying to myself, and again, this it would be such a great chapter to add into the book, is you can work from home with kids and be successful. But I was in this sort of state of bitterness where I was saying, like, I want to get back to work, but I don't have sitters. I don't really have any support to help. So I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to make it happen again. Mm-hmm. And she said, Kate, why don't you just do it when they go to bed at night? Why don't you just get started then? And at that time, I felt, I'm going to be honest, I felt a little frustrated.
You sure? Because that's not optimal in the least.
Yes, that's my time to just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not when, like, it's not an ideal situation. Mm-hmm. But then she suddenly passed away in July. And that voice just stayed with me. And I thought, you know what? Let me do this for mom. Let me try and see where it takes me.
Yeah.
I started seeing one client in the evenings and I realized this is not tiring me. This is actually energizing me because it's something that I love to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What an interesting reframe. I just met these moms recently and their kids are older. And I thought this was really interesting, Kate, because when your kids are little, that's what I used to do too, was time in the evening after they go to bed. And then when they get older, they're up late. Oh. And that's when they want to come talk with you and they want to come sit and have conversations. So I met these moms that were moms of like teens or tweens, and they were working early in the morning. I met a mom that was working at, I actually thought this is a neat job. She worked at a local hotel and she put out the breakfast. And so she came from 5 to 9 in the morning, she said. And then by the time she got home, her teens are just getting out of bed. You know, if you're a homeschool family, they're sleeping in a little bit. And so that was a way that she was able to work part-time. I mean, that's 20 hours a week. So have a part-time salary and then still be there for the day with her kids. And another mom was doing the same thing, cleaning out horse stalls. Like she was super into horses and she had found a job where she could do that early in the morning. And so both of those moms were getting home for their kids. And so I've tried that here and there, like I'm getting up in the morning to prepare for this or prepare for that. And that works well. So I think there is something to be said about trying to find those little pockets of time where maybe your kids are still sleeping or they're occupied with something else. And it's a little exciting. It's that time for yourself and you're still helping things grow. That confronts this lie of I need to have it all together. You're just kind of winging it.
Yeah.
It does feel like that, right? I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to see if this works. Sometimes that's what we have to do in order to find what works. And it will change from season to season. So it's always this, I'm just winging it, trying to figure out what works and always adjusting. But I tend to think it's good for our kids to see that because that's really how life is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, again, traditionally we're taught, like, these are the work hours, this is what you do, and that's how it's supposed to look. But I think when the kids can, like you said, when they can see that we're juggling things, we're moving things around, like, I think that flexible thinking is so important.
Yeah.
And even for them, like, all right, you know what, this play date's not going to work today, or this hike is not going to work. We're going to figure it out and we're going to find something else fun to do. I think when kids can see that flexibility early on, I think it helps them later in life for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because our kids are entering a world where they're going to have to be on their toes a little bit, which is exciting and also a little scary, but that is just how it is. Everyone's adjusting to artificial intelligence. Everyone's going to adjust to different job losses and changes in the job market. And so flexibility and adaptability, those are qualities our kids need. So they're seeing it from us. They're seeing it in our in their day-to-day life. And that's helpful for them as opposed to everything being so structured. I think, you know, my childhood, and for a lot of people, it's very structured. It looks the same thing from day to day. You're not having to flex. And so to see a parent do that, to deal with it a little bit on their own, and to know that we're all winging it, I think is an important thing. So that's one of the big lies. I need to have it all together. And if parents are listening and they're feeling that things look chaotic, know that that's how it is for everyone. That's what John Acuff says. Momentum is messy. And I bring those words back up into my mind a lot. Like, it feels like a mess. That's because we're moving forward. So I think that's really encouraging.
Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for only 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OUTSIDE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com is spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code is OUTSIDE. That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code OUTSIDE. It's no secret. We love music in our household. And music lessons don't need to be expensive, boring, or stressful. Vogtberg Music Academy offers online lessons that siblings can share in the comfort of your own home. Instead of dragging kids to lessons and paying hundreds of dollars a month for one student, use my code OUTSIDE to get 50% off the first month when your children learns piano, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, or ukulele at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. For only $15, get weekly lessons and practice principles, 24/7 access to your instructor, live student onboarding calls, and video vaults that provide dozens of extra lessons for students who want to progress faster. With Vogtberg Music Academy, you will never have to nag your children to practice as they work toward earning badges on their success path and performing for community student showcases. Once again, use my code OUTSIDE to give it a try. You get 50% off this month and give your children a lifelong love of music at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. That's spelled VoetBerg MusicAcademy.com. And use code OUTSIDE when you sign up.
There's a lie that says, I'm not ready to start. And I think this is a big one too, because you weren't ready to restart. There was that piece. But there's also this piece of, I need to make a change. I was just talking to a friend the other day, she texted, and she was wanting to homeschool, and they are trying to figure that out in terms of finances and how are they going to make that work. So a lot of times we're in this spot where we got a side skill. We'd like to make a little bit of extra money to make things work, to change our lives, but we are not ready. And you wrote, you actually don't need to have everything prepared in order to get started. But that does seem a little irresponsible.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
So how does that actually work? You can start without actually being completely ready.
Oh, yeah. I think it starts with action even before your mind is fully ready. And I think when we can take that action, it starts to prepare our mind. Like it just sort of rewires something in our brain. So I always have a lot of people, and I know you interview so many authors because people want to write books.
Right.
And you've written many books before. And I don't think any of us are ever ready to get started. So I say to them, the biggest thing is when you have like those ideas, you just start to jot them down. Or when I work with business owners, when you have this idea for a business, start to write the ideas down, start to say the words out loud. I think that's a big thing too, is I talk about something in the book about like embarrassing yourself. Sometimes it can feel really scary when you want to get started and you don't feel ready, especially around your friends and your family. Like maybe it's a side business, or it's a business, or it's this just this dream that you have. Maybe it's something like moving to a different state and you don't quite feel ready to tell people about it. Just like tell one person, just say it out loud. Because I talk in the book about something called systematic desensitization. It's a part of DBT and CBT. And it's about like starting with one small thing and then sort of desensitizing yourself and going on with the next thing, and then the next thing. It's like taking these small steps, and then eventually, before you know it, you've gotten there. Back when I was working with teenagers, I had a teenager who was really, she loved going shopping at the mall, and she was really afraid to ride the elevator or the escalator, but she really wanted to get to the stores up top. So we worked together with systematic desensitization to get her to those stores that she wanted to go to up top. It was little by little. Like the first thing was like showing her a picture, and she, you know, would have a lot of anxiety and have all these feelings. And then we would watch a video of an escalator or an elevator. Hmm. And we talk about it. And little by little, she started to feel ready. And then she went and practiced with her mom. And then eventually she got upstairs. So it's the same thing in our businesses or any big decisions that we're making in our lives. We have to just start small. And we have to take action. And our brains don't always feel ready, but eventually they will. It's like we're almost tricking them in a way.
Yeah, because eventually you look back and you're like, well, I figured out all of those pieces along the way. You wrote in this book, I was taught that preparation must come before bravery, which is a big sentence. And I think in that vein, a lot of us feel that way too.
Yeah.
Where do you think that thought came from? I was taught preparation must come before bravery.
I think it was just one of those things that was sort of ingrained in me as a kid, like growing up very traditionally, you know, you've got to be prepared to take the test or prepared to take that next step. But as an entrepreneur and someone living a little outside the box, I've realized the important thing is really just being brave first and then figuring, again, winging it, just figuring it out after. And I think back to when my youngest, we did this like swim lesson with her. It was called ISR. It's like an infant survival. And literally they take the baby, she was 15 months old, and they just drop them in the water. So they don't prepare them at all. They drop them in the water and then they eventually pop up and float. And I would say, like, you're going to be brave. You've got this. You've got this. And she was just a little tiny baby at the time, you know, 15 months old. I remember that picture in my mind of, all right, she's just going to be brave and she's going to figure it out. And that's how she's going to learn to swim. And I think when we can approach life that way, we get so much further ahead than always preparing, because with many of the people I've worked with, you know, they'll prepare forever.
Sure.
Yeah. They'll just keep talking about it. I'm going to write this book, or I'm going to start. And I'm like, come on, you said that 15 years ago. Let's get started. Let's just be brave and do it now.
Take the action. That's so interesting. I think that your view on it, of it being this traditional way, actually makes a lot of sense, because we were for a long time, I think, preparing for jobs that were sort of just like that, right? Where it was like, yeah, you prepared. You did your K-12 education, then you prepared and you went to 4 years of college. And that was your preparation for this lifelong career that you would have that was 30 years, and you moved up the corporate ladder and you stayed with this company. But that is really not how the world is at all anymore. And so it's interesting to have this traditional viewpoint of prepare, prepare, prepare. But we're in the spot of like, well, prepare for what? And we don't even know. I mean, the job market is changing, and it's changing for our kids. So things have flip-flopped. And I like this. It's got a flip-flop too in the way that we look at how we take steps forward to be brave first. When you have someone who comes to talk to you that is wide-eyed and excited and they're really into their idea, but they really take no action ever, how do you push them to actually get started?
I think the big thing is thinking of the outcome of how good you're going to feel once you get started. Like, how bad do you want to get to that place, whether it's having this thriving business or starting a family or living in a community that feels really supportive? How bad do you want that? And I think people have to get to a place where they want it bad enough. It's almost like a rock bottom kind of thing to be able to get there. I think you really think about that end outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you say a lot of amazing sentences in here. You know, people are waiting for their circumstances to change, but you say today is the most ready you will ever be. But is that actually true?
I think the longer you wait, the more you talk yourself out of it.
Uh-huh. But I think most people think, well, I'll be more ready tomorrow because I'll have read such and such book, or I'll have taken such and such course. But today is the most ready.
Often, I've worked with a lot of women who feel like, I'll be more ready to start this business, or I'll be more prepared to help people in this way once I've gone and gotten more qualifications. I always say a big part of my job when I did the business coaching was talking people out of spending too much money, because everyone always wanted to go back to get another. It wasn't like these women weren't qualified. They were overqualified for what they wanted to do. But they wanted a second master's, sometimes a third master's, a PhD. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's going to get you to your goal. But it was more of a place of insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt like, okay, once I have this new certification, I'll really be ready. And some of them I wouldn't be able to talk out of it. And they would go and get it. And then they'd say, I don't feel any different. And if anything, I'm upset with myself now, because I wish that I had just trusted that I had what I needed then, because I don't feel any different.
That's really interesting. And I think that often you have to make those decisions along the way so that you can learn what works and what doesn't work. I mean, in a small way, I've been doing this podcast for a couple of years. I really like it. I didn't know I was going to like it. I use a crummy microphone. I have a real one. Here's the real one right here. And I haven't been able to get it to work. Like, well, it just sounds muffled and it's frustrating, but you just kind of keep marching forward. And in time, someday I'll figure this out, right? Someday I'm going to hire someone to come over and do it. but I've got this $20 microphone and I mean, it's fine. And
for
I had
sure.
someone who came up to me once I was speaking at a conference and she said, she's like, where did you go to school to learn this? What course did you take, you know, for public speaking? I was like, none. I have not gotten anything. I've just done it. You just do it. And that's where you learn. You learn it while you do it. And so there's so much in here about that lie. Like I said, today is the most ready you will ever be. Take small imperfect actions. You get the momentum going. And then if you wait, it just gets harder and harder. So you say, want to know a simple but impactful strategy I've learned from mentors and highly successful people? They don't wait. They don't wait until things are ideal. They go. They move. They get started. And so if you're a parent that is feeling like having a side business would be really helpful to your circumstance, the only way you're going to learn how it's going to work is by actually doing it.
Yeah. And you don't need the fancy equipment either. Like you don't need the fancy degree. You don't need the fancy equipment. To be honest, when I had my old podcast and I would do solo episodes, I just used my iPhone and those free headphones that come when you buy the iPhone. That was my microphone. And people would say, okay, they get a notebook. What kind of equipment do you use? That's all you need. Just go in your car and just hide or go hide in the bathroom and just hit record. I would do it on the voice memos on my phone. And then we'd put the intro, conclusion, and that's it. Like you don't need fancy stuff. Maybe eventually you'll get there and you could do the fancy stuff, but again, I mean, people on social media, they're creating businesses and well, just with a phone. Like we live in this great time when we don't have to have these fancy things.
Yeah, it is a great time. You can start with very little and it can carry you through. I mean, we've got a top ranked podcast. I'm like, I've got no equipment really. When we just got some recently, but I haven't used it much. And I think it's this lie that, like you said, it has to all be perfect. This kind of goes along with one of the things that you were talking about at the very beginning, which is taking a break. This thought of, I am my business. And if that is your identity, then you have a lot wrapped up in the success or failure of what happens. I think that makes things seem a lot more scary if you are feeling that your identity is wrapped up. So you must have had a lot of identity shifts here. From doing this, then staying home. So you actually lived this, you know, even in a different way than you're talking about in the book. So one of the lies is, I am my business. And I think if we think that, we're going to be scared to start, because if we fail, it feels like a personal failure on our own part. So what's the truth there? If the lie is, I am my business, what's the truth?
The truth is, it's like it's a branch of you. It's not, it's your passion, but it's not who you are. You are so much more than your business. You are a daughter, a son, a father, a mother. You are a person of value. You are a friend. And your business is just a piece of your creativity. It's not the whole thing. And I think that we do live in this sort of hustle culture. And I hope that it's going to shift soon. But it's, you know, the more success, the more money, the more things that you have, the more that people are going to like you, the more that you're going to feel accepted by even yourself. But there were some really lonely times in entrepreneurship. Like I had some really great friends and communities, but I mean, life is not about sitting behind a computer or sitting behind a phone all the time. And it was really, you know, when I wrote this book, my first daughter, when I first started writing it, she was 3 months old. So I was very early in, like, she wasn't playing yet. We weren't really going outside yet. But it's when you have kids, everything changes. If you allow it to change, if you allow your mindset to shift. But you see, like, just being out in nature and being on the playground with them and getting down on the floor and playing with them, that it's so much more than the business. And I think that it was hard when I went through those 2 years of completely quitting my business because it was such, my business was so tied to my identity.
Right.
And I didn't realize how much it was tied to my identity, but I realized like, I can't miss out on what's outside. And if anything, like it feel, I, you don't want your business to hold you back from living.
like the fear of failing, right? Because that's what you're saying,
yeah,
is that sometimes we become an entrepreneur for the freedom.
Yes.
We become an entrepreneur so that we have more time, so that we have more control over our day-to-day, so that we can work at night or early in the morning for the sake of being around with our kids and having more time with them. But if it's our identity and we're really wrapped up in that, sometimes that can lead to this lack of balance.
Yeah, and it's funny because we all become an entrepreneur for the freedom. Like, oh, I don't want to have to go to a 9-to-5. But then you get to this place where you're chasing success and it becomes addictive.
And it's just hard to turn it off, right? Because
yes,
everything rides on you. And there's always more that you could be doing. There's always something else that you could be doing. And so it's really hard to find that balance. And that's one of the things that you talked to, which also I thought was an interesting piece. You're saying no one feels like they have it all together. They're all winging it. You also said no one has mastered balance. No one. You say, let me repeat that. No one. So quit beating yourself up for not finding it yet. And yet when we look out, when we look outward, you look at, and truly a lot of it is social media. It sure seems like there are people who have mastered balancing this with that and things look pretty smooth. But you're saying no one has mastered balance. How can you be so sure?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if anyone has truly mastered it. I think you hear experts talk about it and they're still like, maybe it looks like balance, but I think there's always going to be that pull no matter what.
Yeah. You're living in the tension. It's the pull between all of the different things that you're trying to juggle. There's just not enough time for it. So that's a relief, right? No one has mastered it. Everyone's working through it constantly. And one of the things that you said in terms of balance is that, this is interesting, unplugging from business is still doing business.
Yes. Yes.
Explain that.
So the best example is these almost 2 years of being away from my business have brought so much creativity. Because that's when you're a business owner, you need creativity. And if you're constantly in the hustle, the grinding, and just working, 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 there's no space. You need wide open white space in order to think, in order to dream, in order to come up with the next idea. And it is something that I had always been pretty good at in my business, was finding some time to carve out, but it would be like, all right, tomorrow from 2 to 5, I'm going to have white space and be creative. And it doesn't always work like that. Like, the creativity doesn't just come to you when mm-hmm. you plan it. It comes to you when you're living life. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
When you're out there, when you're in nature. And I have had so many creative ideas and new books that I've started outlining, like in these 2 years that I've really taken off from my business, just new ways of thinking. And again, being outside with my kids, that's been everything for me.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And there's so much written about that, that is in those blank spaces when ideas come, you set aside a problem for a little bit and it's like your inner workings works it out. And then it pops into your mind late at night, or I mean, sometimes even in a dream, I think.
I was, in dreams, in the shower.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I've definitely had all of those things happen. And it's just in that downtime. So you talk about setting limits around your work hours.
What exactly is a VPN? Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. Just in case you haven't, a VPN is a virtual private network. It's a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. VPNs create an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. If you're a follower of this show and the 1000 Hours Outside movement, you know we aren't anti-screener technology, but we are all about balance. So when you and your kids are online, using NordVPN protects your whole household with one NordVPN account, including shared gadgets. We recently started using NordVPN. It's super easy to install on your router to secure every device on your network with encryption, and you can browse with peace of mind. NordVPN does not track your online activities. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal by visiting nordvpn.com/outside. That's nordvpn.com/outside. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is also in the episode description. You've heard me talk about how Element helps our seemingly always thirsty crew stay hydrated. Our kids have gone nuts over these stick packs. They love all of the different flavors. We love them because they are zero sugar electrolyte drink mixes, and they are super convenient for when we are on the go. Well, I'm super excited to introduce a brand new product, Element Sparkling. No sugar, no caffeine, all electrolytes. Element Sparkling delivers the same zero sugar electrolyte formulation you already know and trust, but now in a bold 16-ounce can of sparkling water. Become an active Element Insider to get access to Element Sparkling starting May 7th because they are publicly available. Element is trusted and used by everyone, from the Olympic weightlifting team, Stanford neuroscientists, and everyday families just like ours. Get your free sample pack with any drink mix purchase at drinklmnt.com/1000hours. And if you're an Element Insider, you have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold 16-ounce can of sparkling electrolyte water. That's drinklmnt.com/1000hours to get your free sample pack with your drink mix order.
Like I said, I think the book applies really well, even though you wrote it in a season when you weren't at home with kids. I think it applies to the situation that many of us find ourselves in, which is juggling a lot of the different things. Would you give it a different title if you were to write it now?
I think I would keep the same title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would keep So the book was written specifically for women,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely applies to men. And I've had many men read it. Maybe in the season, I think like I said before, I would add in a little, maybe I would call it Momming Like a Boss instead, and how to juggle both, and adding in some chapters on that, because it is more than possible. And I think that's one of the biggest fears that I hear. Like, I was just talking to a mom at the library yesterday, and she wants to start homeschooling, but she's like, I don't think I can work or have a business and homeschool. And I was like, well, actually you can. And I would say that probably 80% of the families that are in all of our homeschool co-ops, like, we've got a big community. We have several hundred kids in our community here who homeschool. About 80% of the moms, I would say, they're working. They're doing something, whether it's...
That's the thing. I think it's a higher percentage than people realize.
Oh,
and that's what happened. That's why I was like, this is such a great topic to talk about, because I do think that a large portion of people are juggling something. I mean, it may not be full-time work. It might be part-time work, or it may be full-time work. It's something, but people are trying to make ends meet, or they need a little bit of extra money for... You know, I've got friends that are like, look, you know, we could survive on this one income, but I'm not ever going to throw a birthday party, you know? So this extra thing that I'm doing is providing for the vacation, or it's providing for these different fun things that we still really want to do, even though we've decided to maybe cut back to one income. So 80% is a lot. So this is a big lie. Then you would just be maybe adding a couple things to the book, right? So one of the lies is you can't homeschool and work.
Oh, and you definitely can. And people are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And there are some benefits. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, do I just tell myself this to make myself feel better? But I don't think so. I do think that there are some benefits for the kids at the right age and stage, right? You know, our kids are a little bit older. I'm not necessarily leaving a newborn. However, I do think if you have a good care situation, or, you know, you've got some family there, or someone that you love, or someone, or even if it is a daycare for a little bit of time, it's not maybe a full-time situation. In the right season, things change a little bit too, and kids get a little bit older. But I think that there probably is some benefit for them to see firsthand. John Holt talks about that.
Yeah, the kids, I mean, part of like starting a podcast again too was they're like, Mom, they found like my old microphone and the headphones from when I first started the podcast, and I thought I needed all the equipment. And they're like, why don't you start your podcast again? Or why don't you write your books again? Like, they are, and my oldest is going to be 7 next month. And then I have a 5-year-old, almost 3-year-old, and then another one coming in 2 months.
Yeah. So you're doing it. You're doing it in the season where people often feel like they can't even do that. So you're figuring out how to do it. You have a baby due. You got toddlers.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's so inspiring for them to see it. They want to see mom chase her dreams.
Yeah. And I think that it helps with the transition out of childhood too. So we're closer to that, obviously, than you are by almost a decade. But there's this piece of doing all of this and then the bottom drops out and you have nothing. So I think there's also that. And no kid wants their mom, you know, calling them every day at college because they've got nothing to do. If you've got something to do, I think that also helps with that transition out. I think this is just one of the random things. This is super random. But our girls love this band. It's called Cimarelli. And it's these homeschool sisters and they harmonize really well. They've got this huge YouTube and they've got Patreon and they've got all this music that they've written. So our girls think that they're so cool and they love this music. So, you know, at some point I realized that one of the sisters was following me on Instagram. So I know these are like the random. It's Catherine and Catherine follows me on Instagram. And so this was like, you know, like an explosion in our family. I was like, one of the Cimarellis is following me on Instagram. So then the kids, they like freaked out. The girls, they're so excited about it. And these are just these really random things that you have no idea are going to ever happen. And as your kids get older, they're kind of into that stuff. So then our daughter, one of them, was off at camp and you could send letters through the website. It was like, you know, you type in this letter and then they would print it out for the girls and they get them at lunch. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to ask. So I sent a message to this Catherine Cimarelli and I was like, hey, super random, but we don't know each other, but my daughter is a huge fan. She's off at camp. Would you? And she did. She did.
Oh,
she
said
the thing. And so my daughter said she's sitting at her lunch and she gets this stack of letters because I sent it out to a ton of people. And she said people were like, who is that? She gets like this stack of 40 letters. I was like, I'm going to send it to everybody I know. So she gets this huge stack of letters. And one of them is from this Catherine Cimarelli. And this is just a random, right, Kate? Like, I had no idea when I started writing a decade ago that at some point I'm going to have a teenage daughter.
Yeah.
And the work that I have done is going to pave the way for her to get this letter at camp.
Yes. How cool. Right. That's just the act of that and showing your daughter, just ask, right?
Sure.
Like, well, just ask when you need something or you want something in life. Have the confidence to ask for it because you never know, that person might say yes.
Yes. And I think that's the point of the entrepreneurship, the business, is that you don't really know what's coming.
Yeah.
And that's exciting and also scary. But there is this unknown piece that's like, oh, by taking steps forward, you are probably opening up doors for your kids in different types of ways, whether it's financial or relationship-wise or skills-wise or a combination of all of them, that your kids are able to enter in. I've got a friend, she's starting a campground. Their family is starting a campground. They took like a plain piece of land and they have glamping tents.
How fun.
I know. So all these things that the kids are learning, and I think that's a reframe, right? I think there's a lie that this is taking away from our families.
Yes. And it's not.
It doesn't have to.
When moms can be creative, and that's like, this is sort of where the next book is going to go. It's called Dream Again. I'm a Christian and I really believe that God has given mothers this ability to create and to dream. Not only can we birth children, but we have dreams to birth to make the world more beautiful. Mm. And it doesn't have to be a business. It could be, I have all these friends who are so crafty and it blesses me so much when they do these crafts with my kids or they have these handmade gifts that they give our family, whether it's baking or sewing. But when we can use those gifts, it brings us so much joy and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And when we find joy and fulfillment in life, we can be a better mom to our kids. We can be more patient, more loving. When we're just feeling like we're running them around all the time, we're doing everything for them and we don't have any little outlet for ourselves, that's where I see bitterness come up or resentment come up. To be quite honest, it's hard at times when if I'm around moms who are just like complaining about their kids, and I'm like, you need something for yourself. You know, I think like we live in this society where it's like, oh, moms just need like a wine night, or they need a spa treatment or a pedicure. But that's just surface level. That's not going to do anything. That's not going to fill your soul.
Yeah.
Moms need something to create, to bless other people, and to also fulfill that space for themselves.
And so that something for yourselves is actually for your kids.
It's for your kids.
In a roundabout way. And that's a biblical too. You know, there's a verse that says, refresh others and you will be refreshed. And yes. I've always thought that's like one of the biggest lies that's circling out there, is that we're refreshed through bubble baths, or, and we can be, but not in a long-term way, right? Like you talk about drinking or all of these different things, and this wisdom of when we give to others. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense, right? That's very counterintuitive. Yeah. Refresh others and you will be refreshed. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. These different types of concepts. It is true though. I mean, right? You're always kind of just tired, and it doesn't matter. You could sleep as much as you want. You got this nap, you got whatever. Our kids sleep through the night now, and you can still be worn out and feel that way. But it's that what brings you to life. Yeah. And then in turn, that's enhancing your life at home. So this has been real cool, Kate. This book is Thinking Like a Boss, Uncover and Overcome the Lies Holding You Back from Success. You have other books, and you have another book coming out called Dream Again. And this conversation has talked about some of the lies. There's 12 lies in the book. And then we've added on some more. So it's like bonus lies that people can think about for sure. It's a very soothing book. That's what I felt like. It was a soothing book. I'd written that at the top of my notes, that I just felt like I could kind of sink into it and help me feel better about quite a lot of things. And a lot of things that, for me, Kate, this was super interesting, just as of recently, wove together. So like this dialectical behavior therapy I just read about for the first time, Gay Hendricks, you talk about him. So the upper limiting, that's in this book. And he's been on our podcast twice. So the upper limiting problems that people have, and so much more than we didn't even talk about. But a fantastic book, especially knowing that there are a lot of mothers, a lot of parents who are juggling the parenting work thing, and these lies are important to know about. I can't possibly have a successful business and be a good mom. I need my friends and family to understand in order to be successful. I don't have enough time. This has already been done before. All of these different lies are covered in this book. So, Kate, what a treat to get a chance to talk with you about it. I can't wait for your next one. You also have a book, Drawing the Line. This is about balance.
Yeah, and less burnout in your life.
Yes. So that's a fantastic option too for people that are in that situation. So Kate, people can find more about you. I didn't write it down.
I like to hang out on Instagram.
Okay.
Just my name, Kate Crocco.
Yeah. A good place to find you so that you can know what's coming and when the new book is coming and all of that. We always end our podcast with the same question. What's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside?
Oh man. I think the summers, just because I was in traditional school all year long. So just being outside in the summer and running around in my bathing suit and feeling the sun beam down on my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that freedom. It's such freedom. I think about it sometimes too, like we're homeschooling, but I would say one of the biggest things that the kids miss, which is such a weird thing, is that feeling of being on the bus on the last day of school. The windows are down and it's hot and everyone's screaming and yelling and they're so excited. There is something triumphant about that feeling, and you're so excited for those lazy days of summer and all the freedom that you're going to have. So Kate, what a impactful thing that you're talking about. I think this matters quite a bit. Huge percentage of moms are juggling both work and homeschool, parenting, whatever the situation is. And so this book is really holding the hand of a lot of moms who are really trying to sort through and feel like they're winging it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is?
Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.